Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Achtung Norwalk, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome around the globe. Welcome everywhere, dear listeners. Welcome to Achtung Millwall. My name is Nick Hart. You are listening to the sounds of the Den for this relegation six-pointer this afternoon versus Birmingham City, dear listeners. Just 10 games to go. It's crunch time. We're just waiting for the two teams to enter the pitch. It's a beautiful sunny afternoon here in South Bermondsey. I've dug out a quote for you, dear listeners. This Millwall side, it's not very pretty, General, but can they fight? That's Donald Sutherland in as Vernon L. Pinkley in the Dirty Dozen. Not very pretty, General, but can they fight? My adaptation of that famous line in that wonderful movie. Your Millwall team this afternoon, dear listeners. Sarkic in goal, back line. Joe Bryan returns to the side. Jake Cooper, Jeff Tanganga, Ryan Leonard across the back line. In front of them, Jules Savile, Billy Mitchell. Front three, Watmore, Fleming and Honeyman. And the lone striker, the lone gun up front, Michael Obafemi, dear listeners. Here come the two sides. Today is, of course, Jimmy's day, Jimmy Mizzen day. We just had a very pleasant speech from Barry Mizzen with Margaret alongside him. Wonderful family. Great foundation they set up in Jimmy's name. And today is Jimmy's day. The two teams are warming up with Jimmy Mizzen Foundation T-shirts prior to the game, which obviously aims to combat knife crime and promote education amongst our young. Great stuff. On the bench this afternoon, dear listeners, Bart Bielkowski, Danny Mack drops to the bench this afternoon, some might say a tad harshly. Murray Wallace, Sean Hutchinson, Ryan Longman, our erstwhile centre forward, now on the bench. Adam Mayo, Brooke Norton Cuffey, Casper Denor, and Romain Essay. You've got to play to your strengths of your players, says David Livermore, assistant head coach. Livers on his tactical, the Millwall tactical approach to winning matches. Play to your strengths, he says, and so far so good, listeners. 7 points from a possible nine. This is a massive, massive game this afternoon, though, dear listeners. Birmingham City sits on a par with us in the relegation zone, maybe 1 point in it. I haven't got the table to hand, but you know what's at stake here. A win will be a crucial, crucial victory. Psychologically, the Den is filling up very nicely. Good atmosphere inside the ground, dear listeners. Birmingham sit in 20th position, 1 point behind us in actual fact, listeners. Just to correct my previous statement, Millwall in 18th as we start today's game on 40 points. Below us, QPR on 39, Birmingham 39, Huddersfield 38, Stoke and Sheffield Wednesday on 38 too. Rotherham adrift at the bottom, 19 points. So this is a massive, massive game. Good atmosphere. Livers is quoting Jose Mourinho in this article. This is on the London News Online, talking about playing to the strengths of your players. Jose Mourinho apparently asks when he's taken over a new squad, his playing philosophy is set by what players he's got to work with. And he says it's true, Livers. Medium to long term, I get it. You want to be at the right end of the table and playing entertaining, flowing football. But that's not always the reality, is it? Our job, Neil Harris' job, David Livermore's job, is to get these players winning football matches. That is all that counts today, listeners. Millwall will be kicking off, attacking the Coldblow Lane end, as per the venerable Bede writing in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. I was corrected. Someone on Spotify corrected me that the venerable Bede didn't write the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. and I had a quick look. I think he wrote bits of it. I think it's all lost in the mist of time. But so, as far as I'm concerned, there are stained glass windows of him knocking out the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, saying that Millwall shall attack if you weigh in the first half. And we're underway. It's good enough for me. Stained glass windows. Birmingham in a kind of a luminescent, a day glow, pink, orange shirt. Little flick header on from Zian Fleming. That's going to go wide for a goal kick. The day the world turned day glow. X-ray specs. What a track that is. So, yeah, play to your strengths, says Livers. Speaking on behalf of the managerial duo for however long this season, certainly, Neil Harris and David Livermore. A little 1-2 there. This is Zian. Couldn't quite beat the three defenders in front of him there, but Mill pressing high, pressing hard and fast. This is Jules Honeyman now, crossing from deep. There's no one in there, unfortunately, and the goalkeeper will collect in the pit of his very belly, dear listeners. Midweek draw, of course, up there at Blackburn. A huge, huge hats off to everyone that went to that game, including our own Bobby T, that posts voice notes on the voice note show. Yeah, Bobby was up there. He's developing a cult following. The little break ball breaks as Obafemi couldn't quite feed it into Zian there. So, yeah, fair play to everyone. 300-odd went up there to watch what was ultimately a disappointing draw. Haven't got ourselves in front of a fine goal by Michael Obafemi. It was Keystone Cops defending, wasn't it, for their equaliser, but there we are. But fair play to everyone that went up there for that midweek show. Well, Neil Harris has called for support in today's match day programme notes, the email newsletter thing that they send out, calling for good support for the team and the terraces to be as one. And you can hear that, listeners. Crowd are fulfilling their part of the bargain. I think everyone around the ground recognises the crucial nature of this fixture. I remember the monk chant up there at Old Trafford in 2004 when we made the cup final. The monk's chant went on for the bulk of the second half there, of course. I think I actually lost my voice afterwards. I went into work and couldn't talk. This is a ball break. This is Ian Fleming on the right side now. Not much movement in front of him. Ball in. It's runs across off the heel of a Birmingham defender. They will scrap it away, unfortunately. Good work there, Joe Bryan. Nice little break there, listeners. Talking about pressure, Neil Harris has gone into the South London, speaking to Rich Corley, saying the pressure is on him, not on the players. The pressure is mine, he says. Which is proper leadership, in my opinion. That's what the great leaders do. Good tackle there by Ryan Leonard over on the right side. Apparently, Ida Moemaku, I think by common consent, had a disappointing match up there at Blackburn. He's injured. He's not in the squad today. Ball breaks. Josh Honeyman. Four ball forwards. Our final ball's just falling a touch short at the moment, dear listeners. Flags fluttering proud in the breeze. We've got a Union flag, we've got a Millwall flag, we've got a St George's cross fluttering stiffly in the breeze over on the Docker stand, opposite where I'm standing. Birdship corner, of course. Local birds have been doing their bit for the name. Neil Harris, the club needs to be as Millwall-like. Millwallness, that's the word of the moment. We've got to be as Millwall-like as possible. So far, we are 9 minutes in, coming towards 10. Crowd's been in good voice. Not much in the way of goal mouth action so far, but plenty of effort, which is probably very Millwall-like. Honeyman wins the ball off of a half chance. It'll throw into the box. Honeyman can't quite work his head off the line. The 44 there, it's up in the air. Little amazing kind of run. The ball flicked up high. There was a moment there where possibilities seemed to open up, but it wasn't really a chance in the end. But a nice move there by Millwall. 11 minutes in. Oh, ball, playing the ball out from the back is possibly going to hurt Birmingham. Obafemi can't find a man. It was the moment there where the goal opened up. Millwall still in possession on the edge of the penalty. This is Obafemi. He's trying to drink into the box there and stumbled. 15 minutes. One of those moments where time freezes, and for a moment I thought we had a really strong chance from a poor play out from the back there by the yellow-clad goalkeeper, but didn't work out. Jules Honeyman combining with Ryan Leonard. This is Tanganga now on the right. He's taking his man on. Cross in from Jules Saville. There's Cooper. Couldn't really get any power on that header straight at the goalkeeper, but it was on target. 18 minutes maybe. Cross clatters off the shin of the right side defender, right side of corner Millwall. Big guns are in the D on the edge of the penalty area, and that's Jake Cooper and Jeff Tanganga. In front of them on the 6-yard box, Jules Saville, Michael Obafemi and Duncan Watmore. The ball comes in, it's a deep one. There's Jake Cooper. He's, oh, great save there by the goalkeeper. Jake Cooper hooked it on target, no power in it, unfortunately. The goalkeeper got down well. That was a good save. 19 minutes in, dear listeners. First real chance of the game, I'd say. Jake couldn't quite get any power behind that shot. It was hooked on target, and the goalkeeper got down very well. Blocked it on the line. 21 minutes, going towards the 22 halfway point of the first half. It's been action and effort. We were wondering, after some of the recent performances, how Millwall would adapt to trying to take the game to the opponents. We've done a job so far. Obviously, it's still 0-0, and Birmingham haven't threatened much going forwards. And we had a good chance there with Jake Cooper just a few moments ago, but we've also looked bright and industrious going forwards. So far, so good. A goal will come as a great relief and a cushion to us all, though, dear listeners, won't it? Halfway through the first half. Quite an extensive interview with David Livermore, speaking to the South London Press, the London News Online. One quote that stuck out for me was, if Livers had to pick one manager at any time who had to win a one-off game, then Neil Harris would be the undisputed pick for a one-off situation. Certainly he's proving that, he's developing that as his reputation, dear listeners. Obviously, we've still got 10 crucial games to go, so not yet at that kind of got-to-win-this-one moment. But I kind of know what Livers means in terms of getting the Millwall crowd up for it. That's been the form so far anyway. Let's hope that continues. This is a break here. Duncan Watmore surging forwards. He's got Obafemi, man wide. Jules Honeyman. A little breaking on the right now. There are a lot of luminous shirts back though. Dayglow. He's come backwards to Jules Saville. Nothing doing in front, unfortunately. No movement. A lot of standing around. There was a moment of purpose there, but now it's gone into a freeze frame. Isn't that a Jay Giles band track? Freeze frame. Ball's into Obafemi. He's trying to work some space. There's a little dinky little moment's gone wide right. That was Watmore there trying to dink in between the goalkeeper. Hesitation with the goalkeeper and central defender. He's got a little touch header on it, but wide right rather than on target. Unlucky. Saville limping at the moment. He'll be hoping he can run that off. A lot of debate online about Casper De Noor and his repeatedly being benched since Harris has returned in favour of the Saville and Mitchell midfield duo. Obviously, Casper gives you more passing ability, that's for sure. Maybe doesn't give the work rate, would that be in Harris's eyes, I guess. Right or wrong, listeners, what do you think? Do send me your voice notes, listeners. I always appreciate everyone that sends the voice notes in. I love doing the voice notes show. I'll be doing this week's show on Monday. Tomorrow being a busy day, one way or the other. Ball breaks. Jules Saville now trying to run the ball forwards. It's gone for a throw-in to Birmingham. Yeah, do send me your voice notes. You can get in touch with me via Twitter. Send me a direct message. There's a voice note section on a direct message. Or if you've got my WhatsApp number, send me a voicemail. Or you can exchange numbers. Give me a shout on Twitter and we can exchange numbers if that suits better. I don't mind. And I do want to hear from you. It's lovely to hear the post-match review messages. And I really enjoy doing that show. So the more the merrier, listeners. So, yeah, hit me up. Dan Marsh, writing in the South London Press, says his big match verdict is that Millwall are no longer looking a soft touch since Neil Harris made his return. I agree with that, Dan. I think we've looked a lot sterner as opponents for whatever reason under Joe Edwards. That was not apparent. We won't dwell on that anymore. But certainly since Neil Harris has returned, he's put some real spine in the side, if not artistry. Spine plenty. The ball falls. This is Zian Fleming. Can't quite get hold of it there. Shot from distance on target, but the goalkeeper's down easily enough to touch that. That spine and steel that Neil's brought back is certainly refreshing, listeners. I mean, I don't know about you, but I was certainly getting used, had the arse with getting pounded each week, you know, beaten badly and showing nothing. So it's that much, I think, is refreshing. We're hoping to talk tomorrow to Tony Monday, who's been a bit of a critic of the style that we've been playing under Harris. We've certainly looked more brighter and industrious today against opponents that aren't brilliant, that's for sure, but we've tried to take the ball to them, tried to take the game to them more than has been apparent, you know, last week and in some of the away games recently since Harris has returned. Ping pong there in front of the front line. Ball breaks. This is Ian Fleming. Ball throws. It's Duncan Watmore. Cleared by the 44, but Mill do keep possession. This is Jules Honeyman now. Inside to Watmore. He's got Leonard on the right side. Just lacking a little bit of zip at those last crucial moments, listeners, but that was a nice move. 34, going towards 35 minutes. Going to be a right-sided throw-in. So, yeah, questions were being raised and asked in the midweek shows and last week how we'll take on today's game. I think it's fair to say so far, at least, 35 minutes in, we're trying to take the game to Birmingham. And they've shown nothing as a flick header on from Tanganga, but the goalkeeper collects it. That said, it's not been exactly heavy metal football so far. So, you know, there's a caveat in there, listeners. Have you bought your season ticket, dear listeners? I have. £450. I missed out on the over 64. They moved it. They keep moving it. Every time, as I get closer to it, it's like the Greek legend of Tantalus. As you get closer to your cheaper season ticket price after 25 odd years, they move it out of reach. They moved it. So, yeah, by 2 months, I've missed out on the cheaper season ticket. My birthday's in October, and the 64 mark is deemed to be at August, so I've missed it by 2 months, basically. A couple of foreign fans have fallen foul of the beer in the stand ludicrousness. Just having to go back downstairs with their beer. Makes no sense to me, but there we are. That's the class-based rules. You can drink at rugby, you can drink at horse racing, and drink at cricket. Not at football. Inside of the pitch. I do feel their bewilderment, listeners. It makes no sense to me either, boys. Birmingham now breaking forwards. We're on 41 minutes, perhaps, on their right side. Still in. There's a ball through. This is a 28 on the right side. It's across the face of the goal. Slapped away by Sarkic there. Ran into run along the line of the goal there. Wow. I think Mill just dodged the bullet there, dear listeners. 41 minutes. That's Birmingham's first and only chance of the half so far, and it will be the story of these kinds of games where we had largely the lion's share of the possession, and without that many chances. There was the only one I can really think of is that shot from Jake, of kind of a volley that was batted away by the goalkeeper. Apart from that, we've shown industry and energy in and around the box without carving too much in the way of direct chances out. So we've had the the colours in our hands, so to speak, but this is where you can see silly goals, isn't it? We've had a bit of a track record of doing that this season, so we've got to stay switched on. In 42 minutes now. This is Birmingham from distance. Shot left, low, hard, but left and wide. My heart stopped for a moment now. I thought we'd gone into the net, but it had actually gone wide left. And clearly it was the West Ham cunt that shot. I don't know who this bloke is, listeners. Anyway, it was him. Yeah, so season tickets. I'm going to make a plea to the club that if we're paying 450 odd quid, which I've paid, bought it, cash is in the bank now in Millwall, you can at least clean the bird shit off the concrete in and around. Well, I think everywhere. Let me know wherever you sit, listeners. Do you suffer with bird shit? Where I am is plagued with pigeons, and I've told Kavanagh this no end of times, that the pigeons rest on the security camera above where I stand, over by the security room. And they shit. It shouldn't come as any surprise to anyone that's been a student of David Attenborough shows over the years. The pigeons shit, and it goes on the floor, and it's horrible. And they should have someone, they being Millwall, should have someone that checks the stadium and gets it clean. ahead of big games like this one today, where I don't know what crowd we've got in. It's a, not quite a full house, but it's a reasonable sized crowd, and you're expecting people to stand and enter the premises to stand in bird shit. So I'm going to keep going on about it, listeners. I'm going to make no apology to it, because I just think it's such basic facility management, and it seems to be beyond those that run our club, amongst many other things that are beyond. This is going to be a Millwall free kick on the left there, whilst I was on my pigeon rant. Seem to have had a lot of free kick, dead ball situations in Millwall in this half. We haven't really made the most of them, in all honesty, so this is a chance here. Anyway, it's floated in, it's delivered at pace, but it's flicked off the head of a Brum defender there. This is Honeyman on the right side. Honeyman clattered, but nothing doing in terms of another free kick. This is now Honeyman again on the ball. Floated in, it's deep towards Tanganga. He's gone up for it, the goalkeeper's come for it, taking it well. It's been an industrious half by Millwall without being anything illuminating. Main thing is obviously we're not behind in the game. There was that one chance for Birmingham. Apart from that, there's been a lot of hard work by Millwall, pressing and trying to get forwards, but nothing decisive in front of goal as we ticked towards the last few seconds of the first half. There's the half-time whistle. It's 0-0 at the break. An OK half without being brilliant for Millwall. Obviously, we'll be looking for a second half where we can at least make some of this possession and some of this industry pay off in front of goal. But anyway, there we are. Half-time, Millwall 0, Birmingham 0.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Achtung, Millwall.
Teams are out for the second half, the listeners. No signs of any Millwall substitutions. So Millwall will be attacking the cold blow in the second half, as per the venerable Bede. Fact. And away we go, dear listeners. I think by common consensus on the social media, that was a hard-working half without any real moments of magic, I think someone put it that way. And I think I would agree with that. There was nothing bad about the half from the real perspective, but nothing to open up Birmingham as well. So that's what we've got to try and focus on in this crucial 45 minutes. Birmingham's one chance was that moment where it seemed to me that the ball ran along the goal line whilst everyone froze in the manner of the old magic boomerang show from the 60s, where you've been the boy through the boomerang in Woomera in southern Australia or somewhere. Time froze and everyone, he could run around righting wrongs, putting, you know, villains to rest and things whilst time froze. Everyone froze, stood still. It was a bit like that. I can only imagine the magic boomerang was tossed down at the Coldblow Lane end. A couple of half-time tweets about the Millwall Academy side that beat QPR under-18s today. 12-0. That's the Millwall under-18 Academy side. Put 12. That's 1-2-12, as they used to put on the old football results ticker. 12-0 over QPR today. Well done, boys. Honest Millwall makes the point there's something wrong with our transition if we can't get some of those players into the first team over the next few years. Obafemi dispossessed, giving Jaberming a chance to press forwards. This is the three with a power shot from the left side. I think it was well wide, but from the angle I'm at, it looked like it might be sailing into the roof of the net for one moment, but as it was, it's well wide. Floodlights fully on now in the den. Crowd doing their best to get behind the side. Roar them on. Great tackle there, Joel Saville. I think the 29 is the West Ham slag, isn't it? I don't know what his name is. And I shall not be looking it up either, listeners. But I think that was an extra bit of vim in that tackle there from Joel Saville. Good stuff. This is Honeyman on the right side. Birmingham packing their defensive end. Plenty of these little bit of shirts behind the ball when we come forwards. I did see, just going back to the subject of season tickets and senior citizen cheap deals, when I ordered my season ticket, I looked on the website, and there is actually, I wasn't aware of this, but there's a plan to move it from 63, which is what it was last season, to 64 this season, or the forthcoming season, shall we say, and then on to 65, I guess in line with the national pension age. There's a dodgy ball back there to Sarkic. I wasn't aware of this plan. Apparently it's been checked with fans. I don't know who was fans, but anyway. This is Billy Mitch pressing forwards. This is Duncan Watmore. Heaved off the ball there. He's not really been that effective for me, Watmore, this game. Giving Birmingham a chance to break forwards. Caught on possession there, so 7 minutes in. 52 minutes, free kick awarded against Joel Saville. Another sliding tackle. Gives Birmingham a free kick right of the D. Good distance out, but it's a dangerous position. Yeah, I go around in circles of the cheaper rate for the elderly. I mean, obviously, everyone up to the age of 65, 67 now is officially of working age. And not everyone's in that position. Not everyone's able to afford it. I do think there should be some recognition of the number of years you've held a season ticket. I don't know if Mill listen to this or if they entertain such wild notions. But it's one thing to be having the cheaper rate moved endlessly out of touch as a baby boomer. Another thing, having done, I've been a season ticket holder since the 2000s, so nearly 25 years. There are others longer than that. Not to have any recognition or have it nudged, that recognition nudged away from you. But hopefully I'm making sense amidst the din. This is a free kick for Birmingham, taking it short to 29. Still in possession on the edge of the penalty area. They're taking it short, it's into the box. That's taken turn. Oh! Chance there. The 28 blocked and it's run wide right. That was a moment. I thought that was a real chance for them to score there, listeners. Put it wide, I think. It's a goal kick. Mill dodge a bullet. 53rd minute. Wow. This is the seven now. Now his overlap is the three. Chance on the left. There's a ball across the face of the goal. Oh, the slapstick defending there. The slapstick attacking. The ball fell across to the 11. The dangerous winger. He couldn't get a shot on target. And it's kind of rolled off of Jake's head into back to the Birmingham possession. Keystone Cops moment. But that was one of those danger moments. And we'll survive again. We've got to get a grip here, listeners. Game is in the balance and Birmingham have come out of a bit more intent and a bit more energy in the second half than they showed through the first. This is the seven going at Ryan Leonard, ball into the box, cleared by Joe Bryan. Come on, Millwall. Crowd urging Millwall on. Get a grip. Good solid tackle. Referee's letting a lot go, listeners, this afternoon. Joe Bryan just went into that 11 with some force. Palpable tension around the den. Good atmosphere, but I think it's a tense atmosphere. Lions crowd getting behind the Millwall team. But Birmingham have been pressing forwards. They've looked a lot more dangerous at the start of this second period, dear listeners. 59 minutes of substitution. Watmore's coming out, Longman's coming in. Longman is a bit of a favourite of Neil Harris's. Thankfully he's not playing as a centre forward now, because Obafemi remains out there. Half an hour to go, listeners. Ball breaks. This is the 11. Oh, stumbled past the left side there by off of Tanganga. It's going to be a left-sided corner for Birmingham. No, it's the West Ham. The West Ham slag's going to be taking it. 29. Pritchard. Of course it's Pritchard. Couldn't think of his name earlier on. Deep, deep, deep. Up in the air. It should run through to Bryan. It does. Should clear it. Doesn't. He gets a goal kick. Corner. Somehow he's worked. The Birmingham player worked a corner off of Bryan over. That's poor Bob Joe Bryan. Going to be another right-sided corner for Birmingham. It's a low one. Birmingham fans howling for a penalty there. Not going to get it, I don't think. Great tackle there. Ryan Leonard, the free, sent sprawling. Crowd love that. Free kick for Birmingham, unfortunately. Obafemi's gone down. The free's gone. A little bit of pushing and shoving. Want to get the Millwall crowd involved, listeners. A little tip wherever you're listening around the world. Send in Ryan Leonard to do a really solid tackle. Referee's been very, very laissez-faire this afternoon. Let a lot go. 68 minutes, halfway through the second half. Been very much Birmingham in the ascendancy in this half. They've had one or two moments. There's a ball now through the middle. They've attacked Millwall and they've had a lot of possessions. A ball shot from the 28 there, left wide of the left post. Another one where I thought for a moment was going into the roof of the net. But no, they've looked a lot better at the start of the second half. Millwall have been really under the cosh and at times have looked a bit disjointed. We really need to stay in this game, listeners. In comes the throw from Zia. It's a long one. As Jake gets on ahead of it. It's a header over. Flick header from Jake. Who was that? I think that was Saville. Headed over the bar. No real time to think about it. I've never understood people who go home early from a game. The people walking out here, I mean, they must be tourists or something. 15 minutes to go. Unless you've got something to go to, an appointment or something, you know, a plane to catch or a meal or something, I don't know. But the game's in the balance. It's 0-0. You've sat through a tough-ish first half and a better second half, but the issue's not decided and people decide to go home. I find it odd. Always have. I mean, you pay your money. It's always a poor pass out. This is Obafemi now. It's trying to work some space. What can he do? He's fed it leftwards. This is Ryan Longman. Full stretch there, Obafemi. Longman dispossessed, unfortunately. The moment has passed. The referee can't wait to blow his whistle there. No. James Gibbons calling for some pace on the counter. Desperately lacking it, he says. Bring Mayor on, Harris. I can't see Harris bringing Adam Mayor, 18 years old, unless absolutely necessary, unfortunately, James. I know what you mean. How SA of the North haven't made it off the bench, prefers poor players who will run about a bit, says Dan. Dan Wall. I don't know about poor players, Dan. I personally think we've worked extremely hard and stayed in a game that at times looked like we might be stretched. I know what you mean about the ability to pass on and show a little bit of flair going forwards. That will be a debate that we'll have in the in the voicemails, no doubt, and post-match. But as it stands, 84 minutes. It's probably going to be in the valuable point category if it stays this way. Obviously, if we get beat, then it'll be in the points wasted zone. But it's certainly been hard fought, whatever anyone says, for me. Left-sided throw, Zian Fleming as it is, in it comes. That's not made it past the first defender. We do keep possession. This is Zian, turns. Ball skids. Oh, on the volley, Joe Saville, wide. Oh, it's come off of an orange shin, so it's going to be a right-sided corner. Saville to take, really unlucky with that volley. It's come off a shin for a right-sided corner though, so another chance for Mill to get the ball into the danger zone. And it comes. He's got it in there, 1-0 Millwall! What was that? Tanganga! Crucial goal! Headed in the far post. Mill leading 1-0! Let's have a look. Parrish deep in conversation on the screen. Tanganga catches it at the far post, heads it in from close. How big will that goal be in the big picture, listeners? 4 minutes added time, did I hear? Nicely put away. Just seen the replay on the screen inside the stadium, listeners. Nicely done. Now we've got to hold out. Birmingham will have a chance to pump the ball forwards. There's Ryan Leonard. Draws the free kick. Celebrates that free kick like we just won the league. Really, really good professionalism there. Ryan Leonard made a surging run for the loose ball in space and got himself a free kick. Millwall free kick just on the right side, inside the Birmingham half. And there's the full-time whistle. What a win, listeners. What a hard-fought win. That sheer guts, determination, spine, whatever metaphor you want, listeners. That showed here today. That was a fantastic 3 points. Who knows how bad it was going to become the end of the season. Really difficult away game next week at Leeds. Magnificent performance. I'll go with Joe Bryan, but I mean, it was a really strong team performance. Hard work. Birmingham had a lot of possession in the second half, and we endured that and got that late winner from Jeff Tanganga. It's time for status quo, mates. Then he's dancing.
Achtung, Mehlball.
So, listeners, a dramatic late winner yesterday at the Den for Jeff Tanganga from the George Saville corner. Won the day in the end for Mill. It was a dramatic afternoon. It was a close-run thing, as the Duke of Wellington once said, in different circumstances. Joining me now to chew over yesterday's performance and also, I think, probably the wider question of where the club's going to go. I think that might be a good way to summarise it. It's Tony. Tony Monday. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hello, Nick. Thank you for having me on.
Yesterday was everything, I think, in a way. You sent me a message in the week. The reason why Tony's on the show today, listeners, is that he sent me a long message. I thought it was really interesting stuff, Tony, because in a way, yesterday's game summed up all of the good and all of the bad of the Neil Harris. Four big games unbeaten. Now, from where we were, let's call it, I don't know if it's a miracle is the right word, but it's certainly a turnaround in fortunes, to say the least. Done with a certain style. Millwallness is what he's calling it, Tone. I mean, you've been a bit of a critic, I think, of this Millwallness thing. Is that fair to say? You're looking for a bit more out of your football than just lumps forward, as some are seeing it?
I'm not against the results. The results are fantastic, and I think it's exactly what we need at the moment.
Yeah,
because it just needed someone to come in and just organise, because that was all we was lacking. We've got the players. You see, they had no heart and no belief, and that's what he's given. He's a brilliant man manager. I'll never take that away from him. But you're right in the fact that I think we could be better than we are. And what I mean by that, as I think I said to you in the week, we're treating teams that are not very good, like Watford and Blackburn, with so much respect, as if we're playing Barcelona. And we're not. I think we're better teams than them. We're a better team than them. And I think we could impose ourselves on those kind of teams more than we are. Saying that, I actually thought yesterday was an upturn on those Watford and Blackburn performances, because for the first half in particular, we did start on the front foot. I mean, we didn't trouble the goalkeeper, really. I mean, Cooper had a couple of efforts that dribbled to the keeper, and I think Leonard hit one that just rolled to the keeper.
Same again, yeah.
Yeah, but in all, we was trying to get forward. I thought we were better yesterday, in the first half anyway.
I would agree. I mean, I was thinking about your comments in the week. To summarise, listeners, I think Tone's, as you just said it there, to be honest, I think it's
taking kind of an old-fashioned style, almost a Route 1 style, with a squad that is injury decimated. I suppose that's the case for the defence, Tone, to some extent, in that, you know, we are having to make do in some circumstances. When you see Ryan Longman, for example, a couple of times he's played forwards, which isn't his natural position, clearly. It's a consequence of an injury crisis. I agree that Neil Harris has some kind of mystical ability to come into Millwall particularly and turn things around. The unbeaten run now, four games on the spin yesterday, I thought we were in trouble a little bit in the second half. Birmingham actually moved the ball quite nice and created a few chances in truth that a better side might have put away. So we rode our luck a little bit, but then to have that steal, to nick it at the end, is Neil Harris through and through, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've just hit the nail on the head. For 25 minutes in the second half, it was just like back to when Joe Edwards is there, I actually thought, because they was just bombarding us. I mean, they looked like they was cutting us open with ease, and they missed some good chances. I don't think Sarkic actually made a save, though, no. To be fair. But they was creating the chances.
Yeah.
It looked to me like the manager, because I said it to my mate sitting next to me, that this looks like they've gone in at half-time and the manager has said, they can't hurt us, let's go at them. Because I thought Birmingham were awful in the first half. They looked scared.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, they were sitting back. They were scared of us. And I said, we need to be taking advantage of this. And we didn't. And again, as you just said, injury crisis. So that doesn't help. And I think this is getting a bit off piste a little bit, but I think a lot of this is down. And me, you know, I think it's down to what one of my criticisms of Rao is that he never brought in a proper centre forward.
No,
the last one we had was Steve Morrison.
Yeah.
Or Matt Smith. But we've not had a proper centre forward, and we've got all Nisbet, Bradshaw, 5'8". 5'10".
Small blokes, yeah.
Running hard. And that's what we haven't. We haven't got that player where you can knock the ball up that sticks to them. In that style of football, what we're doing now, that's essential. And that's why, I mean, we had a lot more of the ball yesterday, but I think most of that was in the first half. And I thought we actually did well yesterday to stop the rot on about 70 minutes and actually turn the game back in our favour.
Yeah,
and we did start going back the other way. We wasn't threatening, but we went. The game was a 0-0 game for me, and we've nicked it. Brilliant, but for me, it was. I didn't think we deserved to win. I didn't think they deserved to win. It was one of those games where it just looked like two teams who just haven't got a clue how to score a goal.
Two sides that were largely toothless. I agree with you that we're playing a certain style where we're begging a big, strong, classic centre forward, you know, that can get the ball and hold it, because we're simply hitting balls to small guys who are then, you know, having to hold. I mean, I think Obafemi is a strong, but a small, strong bloke rather than a big, strong bloke where he's going to have some aerial threat. And I think that's where it falls down at the moment. I suppose we're playing the cards we've got, though, Tone, haven't we?
Yeah, you know, I think you've just hit a point on what I was going to say that about Obafemi. I thought he was excellent yesterday, with very little to feed off of. His upper body strength was surprising for us. He's 5'6"?
He doesn't look like a big bloke. Very nimble, very able to turn. I mean, a couple of times he creates something out of nothing, which is a, you know, gold dust.
Yeah.
In this game, I mean, I just want to dwell on the Harris style, because it kind of exists, if you like. I've been reading the BBC match report here. He's talking about Jaf Tanganga, who I think is a very, very good player, listeners. And he showed it both ends of the pitch yesterday. But Neil Harris is talking about being this kind of idea. It's almost like a mystical idea, kind of being a Millwall player. It's like something something special. And, you know, we all love to hear this stuff. So I'm the world's worst for it. But, you know, I don't think there's probably... we've got big summer songs. There's no real substitute for skill on the ball in the end. I mean, the rest of it you can hopefully learn and bring to the game. But quality on the ball is something that is apparent with Obafemi and Tanganga, and they're both lone players, aren't they?
Yeah. And this is going forward. This is where we where we're going to suffer. I mean, at the end of the season, when they've gone back and the players are out of contract, it's about where what direction the club wants to take, Nick. I mean, I know it's not going to be popular, but I don't think Harris is, for me, is the one to take us on next season, because I don't think it'll be a success, because we know where it's going to go. Again, I'm happy with it at the moment, because the results are all that matter. But we saw that at the end of the, what is it, the 18-19 season? That 18-19 season.
His last season, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. His last full season, yeah. Yeah. And he was... Yeah. It was terrible. We had no fight in us, and we was giving up 2-goal leads every game. Right, by we was going 2-0 up, and he would take the forwards off for 20 minutes to go, and then we would. I can remember Middlesbrough, Swansea to Brighton in the cup, and when they come back to 2-0, we had no forwards then, so we was never going to score another goal. And it's I just don't want to go. It's archaic. Watching it, I said I'm happy with it at the moment, and I don't think it's going to change. It's no coincidence. Every club he goes to, they have an immediate bounce when he goes there. Happened at Cardiff, Gillingham, Cambridge. Look at Cambridge since he's left; they've plummeted down again.
I've got off the ball. Yeah.
He's a great man manager. And there's nothing wrong with if he could only develop his playing style, but most managers are the same. They develop their own style and they stick with it. Rowett did it to our frustration. We wanted him to develop a little bit more because I thought we were going somewhere, but we just seemed to hit the buffers with him to a dead end because it wasn't going anywhere. It was the same stuff. We've got wingers, but if we had a big centre forward, would we be using the wings more? Maybe, but we've gone back to exactly what we were doing 18-19 and the beginning of 19-20. We're just knocking that ball long, and then we're playing off of scraps. I like the fight. The fight is great because that's what we want to see.
Some of the tackling
more to that.
Yeah, no, I agree. The tackling yesterday I thought was old school Millwall, and the referee let a lot go, I think, because I mean, another day you would start to see cards are plenty, but I know he got a bit of a slagging the referee. I didn't think he did too badly yesterday, given it was a full-blooded match. I suppose I dwell on the Joe Edwards experiment failed, and there's I still can't quite shift the idea that was a shame, because I think what he was aspiring to is kind of what you're touching on there, Tone, that, you know, I'm not saying bring Joe Edwards back, listeners, but something like that idea of a more modern approach. It played at its best, and we saw it in little brief glimpses under Joe, that there was something there. You could be uplifted by the football a little bit, Tone. Is that, I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth a little bit, but is that what you're driving at to say you want to see as a next step, presuming that we survive, and it looks like a lot more of a prospect?
I just want to see us have a bit more intent, basically, and we didn't have that at the end of his last. We were terrible because the game is developing, and we're all seeing the game develop. I mean, all this playing out the back, Birmingham. We nearly caught them twice yesterday.
Absolutely.
I don't like all that. I think it's just overdone. I get why teams do it, but I just needed a bit more attention. You go back to the 2000 team. We had that fight and the tackling in those teams, but we also attacked. We had the good attack. So once we'd won that battle of defence and winning the ball, then we would attack. I'm not saying it's what I'm reading online is it's like it's either Joe Edwards' style of football or Neil Harris' style of football. There's lots of different styles of football.
That was going to be a point, because you made that point in the week when you messaged me, and I was interested in that because the difference in ways of approach. It's not an either or, is it? It's not like, I think in fairness to Joe, when it was played, we saw it in too brief a glimpse really under Joe. I think you've got to look at the squad that's here now, because suddenly they're transformed, Tone, and they weren't playing for Joe Edwards. I don't care what anyone says. You can't lurch from you know, a couple of weeks ago, looking like you're bereft of all spirit and you barely know how to kick a football, to suddenly seeing performances like we're seeing yesterday at Southampton and you know, the other games in this unbeaten run. So something was not right there either. I don't think they really got a fair crack of wit from the squad. Do you agree with that?
Oh, they let him down big time. And you know what? I was thinking about this. The person who really has got to take a lot of blame for that is Adam Barrett, because he's been there. He was there with Neil Harris the first time. He's been through the rowit. He knows that. So he knows how to set a team up that's solid and with a bit of guts. And yet, what was his input under Edwards? Because we suddenly became so soft and easy to open up and break down, and we crumbled. Those last few games of Edwards' tenure we crumbled. And Edwards obviously couldn't get that into the team, but Adam Barrett's been there all the time. So what is his input? Because surely he could say, come on, right, this is how we do it. And when Edwards took over, all it needed, I didn't think we needed to change too much. Just the Sheffield Wednesday opening game was it was a breath of fresh air. And what it was is that when we attacked in numbers, which we wasn't doing under Rowett.
No.
And it was a breath of fresh air. I think I posted at the time, we are going to let more goals in, but this is what we want to see. So all we needed to do was stay solid, like we'd all been set up for the last 6 or 7 years. But when we attack, just commit a couple more bodies. It's all we was asking Rowett to do. I think if he'd have done that, he'd have still been there. But he wouldn't commit the players forward. See, Edwards just come in, and I just thought all it needed was to stay as we was, but just in transition. I hate that word. It's a new modern word.
It's a modern word.
Yeah.
Passing the ball forwards.
Yeah. But when we're turning over, someone else uses turning over the ball, but when we get the ball, it's just then just commit a few bodies forward, but stay solid. We've always been that club, Nick. Solid, kick bollock bite. I love it.
Yeah.
But we need something else as well. We've been brought up on... Well, do you know what? We haven't really. I was going to say we've been brought up on that attacking football. Well, we haven't, actually. We've always been built on kick, bollock and bite. We've had a few seasons where we've been spoilt along the way. But we're better than we're showing.
Yeah, I mean... Interesting point you finish on the message, Tone. Talk about season tickets. I mean, obviously, it's renew your season ticket time now, listeners. If you're going to, you're half and half about it, Tone. If Harris continues, is that a fair comment?
Yeah, I'm going to get slaughtered now. You've thrown me under the bus here. But
that's why you never come on the show, mate.
But, the end of the 18-19 season, I gave up my season ticket because I couldn't watch it anymore. It was that bad. And so the next... He obviously got the sack in the October. Well, no, he left. He didn't get the sack. He left. But the season after, I renewed again. And I've renewed every season since. I don't know if it's a coincidence that they've brought out this price freeze and early bird as... April the 3rd this year. Is it getting earlier every year?
They're moving the cheap rate deal for when you get the 64. This is a personal gripe. I mentioned it earlier, listeners. They're moving that ever further forward, so you never quite get there, and they've brought it earlier forward, the early bird tickets.
For me, I'm going to be honest, I don't want to go and watch... I'm happy to watch it at the minute. I don't want to go and watch it next season, and that's my real gripe, is that I don't want to watch that football. And people can say, oh, it's the results. I don't see the results next season. This style of football is unsustainable in the long term.
It's cup-tie football, Tony.
Yes.
It's like a cup run, isn't it? And when I think back, the high points, I mean, obviously we had the playoff win under Harris, which is a cup tie, effectively. It was a cup tournament at the end of the season. But the other one, I mean, the high points, I suppose, were cup tie-ish type feelings. And I suppose that's the essence of what he's trying to do. I mean, it's certainly it's a results business at the end of the day. And there we are sitting in 16th at the moment, thanks to other results. Huddersfield kick off in about half hour's time as I'm speaking to Tony. But it's certainly, you know, we're not there yet. We're still 9 games to go. But it feels like a weight has been slowly lifted off our shoulders without entirely being gone. So I suppose that's the ultimate answer in football, isn't it? The league table, and it doesn't lie, as they say. I mean, being realistic, would you appoint him again the next season? Would you keep him on, or would you be looking to try and shake hands and see what else we can do at the end of the season?
If it was me, I would move him on, but I'm not in charge. And again, we could go on to another point here, because I believe that the two people running the club at the moment are an absolute shambles, and they're the problem. The fact, I think they've literally taken the mick out of the Berylsons, because John Berylson's sadly gone and James has come in, and he's obviously not got much of a clue about football. He obviously knows what our club's about because he's been, but he hasn't got... And all of a sudden, we've got this South London Press reporter taking over as director of football. He shouldn't have been head of recruitment. I don't know even how he's got that job. But now he's director of football, and I don't believe that would have happened under John Berylson. And it's almost like they think, well, we can take over here. James doesn't know what he's doing. Kavanagh and now Aldridge, we can take over. We'll direct the show from here. And he is not a director. His qualifications for the job, I'll tell you what, Neil Fissler has got better qualifications for the job than Alex Aldridge, because at least Neil Fissler is a proper journalist, not a two-bob journalist from the South London Press who was only just covering bits and pieces stories on Millwall at the time. He shouldn't be in a position at the club. If he should be, it would be media manager or something like that. He's not a director of football. As you say, all these clubs everywhere will use the director of football. It's always football people use.
An ex-pro to whatever level.
I think David Pleat was there once upon a time, massive experienced manager. Les Ferdinand, as I said the other week, so on and so on. We've got a reporter. How has that happened? And he's appointed, I honestly believe he's appointed Harris because he thought it would keep the fans on side. And it's worked in the short term, and it will work in the short term, as we know what Neil is. He's a great man manager, and that comes. His title is head coach. He's not a coach, because if the football we're playing is what he's coaching, then he shouldn't have a coaching badge, if you ask me. He's a man manager. I mean, he's that Neil Warnock type. Manager.
Well, I mean, I noticed Warnock stepped down in Aberdeen. He's gone up there and done a Warnock style job. And I suppose, as you say, that's what Harris has been brought in.
He inspires players, Harris. That's what he does, and that's why we were so good in the cup under him. He's got that. He can get into players and inspire them. But over the long term, and that's what happened. We had that siege mentality, and it sort of ended when we got beat by Fulham.
That was a salutary moment that night, because strangely we lost that night. I think the percentages were the same as what we won with at Southampton. I think it was 20%, 80% possession to Fulham, and with a reverse for Millwall. We had 20%, we won at Southampton. So that's
I'm sort of talking the playoff,
the playoff, yeah. Nearly
because as soon as that finished, it blew us out the playoffs, and we never recovered. Nils Harris's team, our team, never recovered for the following season. And we were lucky to stay up, Nick. Yeah, we were lucky. It's 42 points.
I'm thinking with a Craven Cottage night when we got beat 6-0.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying about the siege mentality. I think it's only sustainable for a certain period of time.
Yeah, that because I agree with. That I agree with, Tone. I mean, I think that we've seen that across, I mean, how many years I've been going Mill, 50 odd years. I think the siege idea, which is in our blood, but it does only take you so far, mate. I do agree.
Yeah.
Tone, it's been great talking to you. Thank you for taking time out your Sunday. I really appreciate it. Away at Leeds on Saturday, and that's going to be another siege mentality game. That's going to be a similar kind of turnout to Southampton, I suppose. Whether we can sustain it up there as well, because that's a point there will be a massive away point if we can put it off.
I actually think this is an ideal game for us, because this is a game. They hate Neil Harris Leeds, don't they? He's always seems to
absolutely
get one over them, and he knows exactly what he's going to what we're facing. And I expect Danny Mack or Murray Wallace to come back in for Joe Bryan, as well as he played yesterday, for the Leeds game, because it's going to be back to the wall.
Purely for the tackle quality, yeah.
I think we could get a 0-0 out of it. I do think we could get a 0-0 out of it. I'm not as, I'm not sort of giving up on that result as if it's 3 points gone. I think we can get something there. I honestly believe that. I think it's made for a 0. I think it's that sort of game. It's just getting these two wins down the line, and two more wins down the line.
Safety beckons, yeah. I think, at that point. That'll be a major achievement.
Yeah.
So great to talk to you, mate. Let's do it more often, mate. Good to talk to
you. Yeah. Thanks, Nick. You have a good Sunday, yeah? Cheers, mate.
Okay, mate.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.